Take your Bible, if you will, please, and turn to Judges chapter number 1. Judges chapter number 1, if you will. Judges chapter 1. I'm glad our church is not dead. Judges chapter number 1. Judges chapter 1. If you think it's dead, just go back to the nursery. I promise you. Or had you been back there this morning, I imagine it was total chaos back there today. And I love it. I'm not a nursery worker. Judges chapter number 1. Stand with me, if you will, please. We're going to read a couple verses. I'll refer to dozens, I'm sure, of verses tonight. Judges chapter number 1. Look at verse number 6. Judges 1:6. This is a passage that I preached a sermon on a couple Sunday mornings ago. It says this: But Adonibezek fled, and they pursued after him, and caught him, and cut off his thumbs and his great toes. And Adonibezek said, 70 kings have their thumbs and their great toes cut off, gathered their meat under my table. As I have done, so God hath requited me. And they brought him to Jerusalem, and there he died. The sermon tonight is called Payback, or Paybacks. You'll understand it as it unfolds. Let's pray. Holy Ghost of God, reach down from heaven and do something unique and powerful and lasting in this place. Lord, you know the sermon. It's a bit prophetic. But Father, it's a prophecy that is fulfilled every day throughout the world. The paybacks. Oh God, do a work. For those that are not used to what to do in church, I pray that you'll still them and help them to listen carefully so they don't interrupt others. For those of us that know what to do, help us to obey and do what's right during the preaching and give our attention to it. Help someone today not to reap something they don't want to tomorrow. Strengthen my mind and help me to deliver the truth so it gets the just attention that it deserves. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Adonibezek was a cruel king. He was one of the kings of the Canaanites. And he took great pleasure in torturing the victims and the people that he captured. When he captured an enemy king, he would cut off their thumbs and their big toe. Preached a sermon, an entire sermon about that a couple of weeks ago. Of course, when these kings had their thumbs and their big toes taken off, it made them virtually useless in military battle. The big toe gave them balance. The thumb, they needed it as they would grip a sword. Then these kings that Adonibezek had captured and conquered, they were required to act like dogs and set at the master's feet underneath Adonibezek's dining room table. And that's what he made him do, opposed to them being killed. He would throw them scraps of food off of his table, and they would scrap, if you will, like a couple of puppies looking for the crumbs that fall from the master's table. He would feed them like hungry mutts. And they would fight to get the food so they would not starve to death. He had become known as a very, very cruel and gruesome man. He led many bloody conquests, and nobody wanted to be taken over by him because of the treatment that they would receive from him. One day, he challenged an enemy that he could not overpower. And let me tell you something. You do wrong, you may win some victories, but you won't beat everybody. And there'll come a day God will turn around, and he'll turn that around on you. And his cruelty backfires on him. Let me read a verse to you from the New Testament. Colossians 3:25 says, But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. Adonibezek now has taken on an army, and he is not going to whip them. So he fled for his life, but they caught him. And he gets payback. Listen to this verse. In Judges chapter 1, we read it a moment ago, it says, And cut off his thumbs and his great toes. And Adonibezek said, 70 kings have their thumbs and great toes cut off, and they gathered their meat under my table. As I have done, so God hath requited me. And they brought him to Jerusalem. Notice, he said, God hath requited me. You say, what does requite? Requite means he got paid back. He has now reaped what he has sown. The Bible says in Proverbs 26:27, Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein. He that rolleth a stone, it will return on him. You dig a pit for somebody else, there's coming a day you're going to fall into a pit. Adonibezek thought he was getting off scot-free. After all, He was a king. He was a pretty powerful king. It is said that 70 kings had their toes and their thumbs cut off, and they were scrapping for food underneath his table. So he said, I'm a king. He had position and power and prestige. He had brains and brawn and backbone. He was full of pride. He was full of conceit, and he was full of haughtiness. The Bible says this in Proverbs 14:12, there's a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now we see the shoe is on the other foot. Now suddenly he that had been pursuing is being pursued. The Bible says in Numbers 32, be sure your sin will find you out. See, the captor, Adonibezek, has now become the captured. And all, can you imagine how he treated everybody that he conquered? What was going to happen to him now that somebody has captured him? See, the jailer is now being put in jail. The bully is now going to be bullied. The defeater is now going to be the defeated. Before Adonibezek is put to death, it seems that it is very clear what is happening. He says in Judges 1:7, as I have done, so God hath requited me. In other words, he said, I am getting paid back. I'm getting paid back. The Bible says in Galatians 6:7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, we see this throughout the entire Bible. And earlier I said this. This is a bit a prophecy. This is a prophecy, and it's not something that you'd call just for the end times, although there will be payback in the end times. But this is a prophecy that's fulfilled every day. You do bad, bad will come back. You do evil, evil will come back to you. And so every day of our lives, the prophecy of God that said, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. There are people today that are reaping what they sowed last week, and it does come back to us. Throughout the entire Bible, you see this happening. Pharaoh hoped that Moses and the children of Israel would drown in the Red Sea. Payback came. It's Pharaoh's army that needed the lifeguard. Haman plotted to see Mordecai hang on a gallows. But payback came, and Haman hung on those very gallows. Daniel's enemy set him up so that he would be tossed into the lions. But payback came. And that those very enemies got thrown into the lion's den that had been intended for Daniel. The wicked queen Jezebel hated the man of God named Elijah and treated him like a dog. Oh, but God paid back, and one day Jezebel was tossed out a window and eaten alive by a wild pack of dogs. Payback came. And you look out at the world and you say, well, Brother Owens, they're awful rough on us. Payback will come. They will pay for that. Payback will come. Maybe I ought to put it this way. You ever heard the old statement, what goes around comes around? What goes around comes around. Hey, cruel ways will come back at you. And there's a positive aspect of this. It's not what I'm going to preach tonight, but there is a positive aspect to it, and that is, if you do good, good will come back to you. I was telling one of my fine ladies tonight, I really appreciated her care and concern about someone in our church. And I said, I believe that God is really going to bless you because you're a blessing to that person. You do good unto others, and others will do good unto you. But you do bad, you do evil, you do wrong, it will come back. Let me now make some practical applications of this payback idea. God will pay back in regard to the words that we speak. In Job chapter 6, verse 25, it says, how forcible are right words. Then it says in Proverbs 15:23, a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Proverbs 25:11 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Hey, good words will be returned to the person who spoke them. In other words, you speak good of others, God has a way of paying you back and having someone speak good of you. Oh, but let me warn you, evil words will return your way someday. Psalm 64:8 says, so they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. What God is saying is, you use your tongue for evil, it's coming back. Payback will come. A man once said this. He said, birds are entangled by their feet, but men are entangled by their tongues. James chapter 3, verse number 8 says, but the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. If you were here when I taught on evil, there it says, the tongue is full of evil. Evil. Hey, payback will come if you speak evil. Psalm 34:13 says, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Why? Payback will come. If you're a manure spreader of the mouth, God gives us a warning. He says in Proverbs 10:18, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. Why? God's telling you, you use your mouth wrong, you use your words wrong, you use conversation wrong, you use Facebook wrong, you use emails wrong. God said, payback, payback, it's coming back. You're not getting away with that. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Why? Payback. Payback. Proverbs 26:28 says, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. Why? God doesn't want you ruined. What's he warning? You misuse your mouth, it will come back to you. Hey, do you want someone to talk about you the way you talk about others? Do you want someone to talk to you the way you talk to others? I think there are people in this room. I think there are men in this room. I understand that you're the king of your home and all that good stuff, but you're rude to your wives. Would you want someone to talk to you the way you talk to your wife? Be careful now. I am for reverence. I am for respect. I'm for all of that, but you need to be careful. Payback will come. Payback will come. So, this thing of words, God says there's payback in your words. Watch what you say, because payback will come. Secondly, God will pay back regarding money that is wrongly gotten, wrongly received. So now we're going to talk about money that we get that maybe we shouldn't have honestly received. 1 Timothy 6:9 says this, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Now, there's nothing wrong with money. There's nothing wrong with riches. I heard someone wrongly quote on the radio the other day. They said money is the root of all evil. And I thought, that is not what the Bible says. Matter of fact, that's a false doctrine. It is the love of money that is the root of all evil. But riches are not wrong. But riches wrongly gained, that is wrong. And you will end it up, and this verse says, if you get funds wrongly, then you will eventually be trapped by that, and you will drown in a life of dissatisfaction, and you will hurt yourself. Let me tell you a quick story. The story is about a man named Gehazi, Naaman, and Elisha. Naaman was a wealthy captain who had leprosy. He went to see Elisha, the man of God, and he said, I want healing. He carried with him a bunch of money to pay Elisha for his help. God used Elisha to help Naaman get cured of his leprosy. Elisha would not accept payment from Naaman. And Elisha said, no, I don't want your money. The man of God, a man named Gehazi, was associated with Elisha. And he wanted some of Naaman's money. In other words, Elisha had kind of an assistant named Gehazi. Elisha said, I don't want your money, Naaman. But Gehazi, he wanted it. So Elisha, he left. He said, I'm going home. I'm going on about the ministry. Gehazi lingered behind. The minute he got a chance, Gehazi, he went over to Naaman and he said, hey, about that money you offered my master, he went ahead and changed his mind. Now, that's not what Elisha said, but Gehazi said he changed his mind. And Naaman said, well, sure, I'm going to give you some money. You know what happened? Wasn't too very long. Judgment fell on Gehazi. The Bible says in 2 Kings 5:27 about Gehazi, it says, and he went out from the presence a leper as white as snow. Now, wait a minute. Naaman was a leper that needed healed. Gehazi, he gets money wrongly gotten. And what ends up happening is Gehazi ends up having the leprosy that was on Naaman fall upon him. You say, what happened? Payback. Payback. Who did you cheat financially? Might I warn you? Payback. Who did you steal from? Could I give you a warning? Payback. Who did you receive? Who did you deceive in some deal? You might want to watch out. Payback. Who did you unfairly take advantage of? Might want to consider the payback. Who did you legally take to the cleaners? I don't think we ought to use the legal system to be unfair. Watch out. Payback. Let me warn you. Are you stealing God's tithe or God's offering? Can I show you something? There is payback if you take the tithe. If you don't tithe, You will pay for it. Malachi 3:9 says, "Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation." Here they're warned because they're not tithing. It's not just tithing. They're not tithing and they're not giving an offering, both. It said there's a curse that comes upon someone that does that. But let me go on. Listen to Malachi 3:11. It says, "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes." See, if you're tithing, God says, "I'll rebuke the devourer." He says, "I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts." Here's what's happening. God said, "You tithe, I'll bless you. If you don't tithe and you take God's money and you do something other than give it to God," God said, "a devourer will come and he'll start eating up your prosperity." You know what that's called? That's called spiritual payback. Spiritual payback. So, look, if you're not tithing and everything you have is falling apart, don't be shocked as you're just reaping what you have sown. You say, "Well, I feel like, God, I've lost enough that that ought to make me and God even." Oh, no, you still need to do the tithing. You're just, hey, this is just the penalty for late payment, buddy. And so, God said, there's payback. There's payback in regard to the words that we use. There's payback when we receive money in a wrong fashion. Hey, there's payback in regard to your lust. Your lust. Galatians 6:8 says, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap." So what's it saying? You sow to the flesh, there'll be payback to the flesh. Lust is a fleshly sin. Listen to this. And young men, especially, listen up to what I'm about to say. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 3 through 5 says this, "For the lips of a strange woman drop as in honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil." But, that word there, but, that's a conjunction. God is taking two thoughts and connecting them. I always remember, but's a conjunction. You say, why? Conjunction, junction, what's your function? I know all the gospel songs. So the first part says, "For the lips of a strange woman drop as in honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil." You say, "Well, I like that. Woo!" Talking about her lips and the smoothness of her mouth. But God said, but wait a minute, it doesn't stop there. "But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell." This is talking about the strange woman. And when it's talking about the strange woman, it's talking about the temptress. It's a woman that's out to entice and to draw a man in. And it talks, her lips are sweet. Talking about the honeycomb. Her words are smooth as oil. Oh, but wait a minute. You chase after that kind of a woman, God said, there'll be payback. You lusted after the wrong kind of woman, there'll be payback. Payback. Her end is bitter. In other words, her life ends up, and if you end up with her, it'll be a bitter mess. Payback, you'll be cut to shreds. Notice it says, sharp as a two-edged sword will cut you to death. It'll cut you emotionally. It'll cut you financially. And then he said, her feet lead to death. What is that? Payback. Her steps lead lost man to hell and a saved man to a life of hell. What's it called? Payback. You go chasing after a woman that is a temptress and a woman that is enticing you, you will pay for it. Payback will come. You'll be miserable. Let me tell you something, men. You're better off with no woman than the wrong woman. You're better off living on a housetop than in a house with a woman that is just barking and complaining and griping that's hard to please. So, what's God talking about? Payback. Payback, payback in regard to our lust. Let me read another verse to you. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 25, "Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids." You say, what is that? She's batting her eyes at you, you know. "For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom, and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals, and his feet not be burned?" What's happening? Here it's talking about a lustful woman. She's got beautiful eyes. She flaunts herself. She throws herself at you. But God gives a warning. He said, that woman right there, you may burn in lust toward her, but notice what it said. It says, can a man take fire in his bosom? It'll burn you up. You'll be sorry. The Bible says in Proverbs 6:32, "But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul." You go in thinking, I'm going to have me some fun. I'm going to tell you something. You'll destroy yourself. You'll destroy your self-worth. You'll destroy your morality. You'll destroy, and you may end up destroying your body if you're not careful. to everybody here, a moment of enjoyment could cost you a lifetime of misery. A moment of enjoyment, a lifetime of misery. Teenagers, you be careful. You go sneak around and fornicating, God pays back. You say, well, I got away with it. I'm sorry. You have not gotten away with anything. Yeah, and my saying is this, God doesn't always pay immediately, but He pays. Married adult, you commit adultery, you'll pay for it. That doesn't mean your marriage has to be over, but you will pay for it. Adult unmarried person that misbehaves sexually with someone, you will pay for it. You say, how? Well, you may end up with a disease. You may end up pregnant out of wedlock. You may end up with a divorce on your hands. But hey, this old world needs warned. Sexual sin is still punishable by God. You say, well, but the United States says it's legal. The United States sometimes is full of prunes. The Congress is not God. God is God, and the Bible is God's Word. And what is right and wrong is not on the basis of what Congress tells us, and though I appreciate our Congress some. But the Bible makes that decision. And let me warn everybody in here, payback. You do wrong morally, you will pay for it. If we do wrong with our words, we'll pay for it. If we do wrong financially, we'll pay for it. But not only that, God brings payback in regard to the liquor traffic and boozing it up. Let me read to you. Proverbs 23, verse 31 and 32. It says, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup. When our children were growing up, Mrs. Owens and I obeyed that verse. When we went down to Food Lion and we came to the aisle where they had their liquor, I would not take my kids in that aisle. You say, why? I didn't want my kids to even look at it. They shouldn't be looking at it in your refrigerator. That's dead sure. I wouldn't even let my kid look at it when it was in the store. If we happened to be in a hotel watching a commercial and a funny beer commercial came on, it was turned off at our house. You say, why? God said, we're not to be looking at the liquor. Don't even look at it. Now you got, how are you going to deal with that when it comes to drinking it? You go around drinking things that you don't look at? We could fix you up. Don't join the youth department. They'll be doing things to you all the time. See what happens. Listen to that verse. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. Okay, it's talking about the liquor and the enticement of it. But now we go on to the other half of it. At the last, it biteth like a serpent. It stingeth like an adder. Oh, they make it look good. And at first, all the buzz that you get and the fun, it all starts. But I'm going to tell you something. There's payback to it. It bites like a poisonous snake, like a serpent. Payback, it'll sting you. See, the first few drinks make you feel good. The last few leave the taste of your own vomit in your mouth. Social drinker sips their wine or martini in public, then they beat their wives and cuss and do all sorts of things in private. Your beer drinker is the life of the party at someone's house, then kills somebody on the way home drinking and driving. Your whiskey drinker starts out with a full paycheck and a full fifth and ends up with an empty bottle, empty life, and an empty wallet. Outside of the can says Budweiser, but inside the can, it makes you Bud stupider. Listen to this. There is payback to it. You say, I'm enjoying, I like the taste of it, I like the buzz. You might want to check into what it's doing to your liver. You might want to check into what it does to your temperament. You might want to check into what it does. Hey, I'll tell you something. This almost makes me mad. There are people that will not tithe to the New Testament church, but they'll buy cigarette and beer, and they say, well, I don't have the money to tithe. What is wrong with you? How do you have money to go out and pay for your vice, but you can't give to God? Well, you got something all mixed up. But there is payback. I promise you. I've watched family members that drank that shouldn't have. Payback came. I knew a grocery store owner that sold liquor in his store, and he knew better. But he made so much money. He made so much money. And I remember when the story came to me that his daughter and his wife were hit by a drunk driver and killed. So sad. So sad. The man went down to identify the bodies at the hospital. When he got there, the person that was drunk, for some reason, was there. And the man said, I sold you the very liquor that killed my kids, killed my wife. The grocery store owner had sold the liquor that was drank by the drunk that killed his wife and daughter. You know what that's called? Payback. Payback. And you might think the booze crowd, they're running wild and they're doing what they want. Payback. It's not that easy. See, payback. God said what goes around comes around. That's in regard to the liquor traffic. It's in regard to lust. It's in regard to financial gain wrongly gotten. It's in regard to our words. Hey, and let me warn you about this. Payback in regard to wrong friendships. And there's some of you in here, you need to really set up and listen to this. There's some of you, I mean, even right inside the church, I need to warn everybody, there are people that love the Lord inside the church, and every once in a while you get somebody not so interested. And there is always in every church some little evil element that's a fake. They're a fake. They like to give the impression they love the Lord. Behind the scenes, they're trouble. Now, let me warn you, in regard to wicked friendships, there's a payback. In 2 Samuel 13, verse number 3, it says, "But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimea, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man." In other words, he was a tricky man. See, Amnon had a so-called friend, and that's what they are, so-called friends. Friends that lead you to do wrong are not friends. They're so-called friends. Amnon, this man, he had an attraction for his stepsister. And let me say, within a family, you ought to keep your hands off of each other, and every effort for propriety ought to be kept. Brothers and sisters shouldn't be going around touching each other in any sensual way at all. But Amnon had an attraction for his stepsister. Jonadab, his friend, was a very wicked man. Jonadab said to Amnon, he said, "You ought to trick your stepsister, and when you trick her, you could grab her and have your way with her." Man, in other words, he taught this so-called friend how to rape his stepsister. And Amnon was such a knucklehead, he let his peer convince him. And so, he did it. He had his way. He had his fun for a moment. He grabbed his stepsister. He forced her because of the influence of a wicked friend. And you know what happens? Amnon, he got away with it for the moment. For the moment. But 2 years later, his own brother gives the order for his buddies to kill Amnon. What happened? Payback. Payback. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20, it says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." You know, Judas was a disloyal backstabber that found some friends who would give him 30 pieces of silver to disloyally turn on Jesus. That dirty money tied them together as so-called friends. With the same rope that tied that dirty friendship together, Judas went out and hung himself. What happened? He got with the wrong crowd, and he thought it would bring prosperity, but those that he tied him to, he couldn't bear his behavior, so he hung himself. Folks, evil people hurt people, but there will be payback. There will be payback. Wrong friendships have payback attached to it. Hey, let's go on. I believe in payback in regard to selfishness. Selfishness. The Bible teaches it. Let me read a verse to you. Job chapter 21, verse 7, 8, and 9. "Wherefore do the wicked live, become old, yea, are mighty in power? Their seed is established in their sight with them, and their offspring before their eyes. Their houses are safe and from fear. Neither is the rod of God upon them." Here it's talking about wicked, but powerful people. If people with clout, people with funds, people with means. And they have children, and their house is safe. But listen, in the same verse, just a few verses later, it says, they spend their days in wealth, and in a moment they go down to the grave. Then in verse 15, "What is the Almighty that we should serve Him, and what profit shall we have if we pray unto Him?" Here is somebody, they're wealthy, they've got it made, where they've got their houses and their children, and they have safety, and they're not listening to the Bible. When someone talks about give, and it shall be given unto you, and they talk about tithing and giving and being good to the poor, they say, "I'm successful, I don't need God." But wait a minute, payback will come. Because in verse number 17, after this long list of what the wealthy and their stinginess, how they're living, it says in Job 21:17, "How oft is the candle of the wicked put out, and how oft cometh their destruction upon them? God disturbeth sorrows in His distributeth sorrows in His anger." In other words, God said, When I bless someone with means and they're stingy, God said, that angers me. He uses the word anger. He said, if they will not give and they are stingy, God said, I'll put their candle out. Now, that word candle probably is not death at that point. It's talking about influence. God said, I can limit their influence. Destruction can come and sorrow will come because they have become stingy. You see, if God blesses us, He said, I want you to be good to people. I want you to be supportive of right things. And if you don't, God said, payback will come. I had a man one time, he said, you know, I've made millions of dollars, and I heard you preach a sermon about how if you don't give, there can be a curse placed upon you financially. He said, I have made millions and millions of dollars. He said to me, and Owens, he said, I have never tithed one day of my life. I said, sir, I feel so bad for you. You could have been a billionaire. He said, well, how so? You think my business is, I didn't run them right? I said, if you've not been giving, you've been losing money so fast that you don't even realize, because God is not blessing you like He would have and could have. Your millions are piddly compared to what God would have done had you been tithing. You'd be a billionaire instead of just a millionaire. You know, and you have to learn something. Sometimes the greatest sacrificial givers are not always the people that have money. Often it's the average everyday poor people. They give sacrificially. Look, if somebody makes $100 a week and they give their tithe, and then they give on top of their tithe another $10, that's a pretty big deal. Well, now, somebody else that gives their tithe that makes, let's say $100,000 a week, and then they give a $100 bill after it, that's not the same sacrifice. Listen, don't be stingy. You say, why? I believe God said stinginess will bring a payback your way. God can withhold blessing from us. The whole story is back to this Adonai Bezek. Rude, crude, violent, hateful. Well, boy, he was call the list of misbehaviors and sins. He was guilty. And he was getting away with it, and everything was going fine, but all of a sudden God said, that's it, I'm done. It's time for you to reap what you have sown. And he noticed it. He said, all those men, I cut their thumbs off, I cut their toes off, I made them beg and act like dogs at my table, and here I am, I'm getting my toes, I'm getting my thumbs, I'm going to be tortured. And he said, I'm just getting a payback. And think about it. Think about all the kings around that he would go to war with. Can you imagine? I imagine when he got finally taken captive, all those men that had begged underneath his table, do you think they might have been there to encourage the captor to really put it to old Adonai Bezek? Why, sure. Now, folks, there is payback. There is. God calls it, he tells us that it is God requites. That's payback. That's reaping what we've sown. To a degree, it's almost a revenge. Now, you need to understand something. If God ever takes revenge, it's pure. God told you, don't you take revenge. You don't know how to do it purely. God does know how to do it purely. But there is a payback element in our lives. And there is payback when we misuse our words, when we get money the wrong way, when we let our lust run out of control from the liquor and wrong friendships and our selfishness. Let me say one last thing. If you reject Jesus Christ as Savior, there comes a day when you're going to get rejected. I realize the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I realize that. I realize the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I realize that. And His hand is not slack concerning His promise to usward, but He is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I know that. But listen to this, John 8:24. If you believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. The Bible does say in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. It does say in Mark 16:16, he that believeth not shall be damned. So let me make it clear. If you're not saved, you have rejected Jesus. Now, as long as you're alive, you're covered. But the minute you die, having rejected Jesus, you will get the payback. you will be rejected from heaven and you will die and go to hell. Payback. 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 Remember, what goes around comes around. If you thought you got away with it, no, you didn't. You didn't. You say, well, what should I do? I'd run to the Lord and say, Lord, I need to get this straightened out. I don't believe you'll eliminate a reaping process because you confess what you did. But I do think you can minimize the impact. I mean, if you did wrong and you get to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry, you may still have to pay some consequence, but it will not be near the consequence that you would have paid had you never confessed it, had you gone on in your rebellion and thumbed your nose at Jesus. It's only right. I hate it. We were driving up the road the other day. It was after church. Last Sunday, or maybe the Sunday before, we were driving up the road. Mrs. Owen said, watch your speed. About that time, I looked over and I thought, well, she was watching my speed, and so was that guy in that car. And it was a car that had these little lights on top of it. And, oh, brother. I slowed down real quick, and he pulled me over. And he said, do you know how fast you were going? I wasn't really sure. I just knew where I seen the needle after I started to slow down. And he asked, is there anything to say? I said, no. And I'm guilty. You know what? I suffered the consequences. I didn't get away with it. And what had happened? Well, I deserved it. So look, you cross God, take what you got coming to you. But I would do this. If you cross Him, I'd get to Him. I'd fix it as quickly as you possibly can. I could have had a pretty bad attitude with the guy. I could have said what I was thinking. What about that guy? He's going about 20 miles faster than me. Why didn't you get him? Why are you picking on me? Why is everybody always picking on me? I told him, I said, look, what is this? I didn't say that. I I took it. And I believe that confession minimized the consequence. But if you won't confess, you could maximize the consequence. You become rebellious and hateful toward God. Yeah, that's a bad thing to do. The wrath of God is a terrible thing to face. But just remember, paybacks. Paybacks. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. First of all, if you're not saved, I wish you would come to the Savior. If you're newer in church attendance and you've never been saved, come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. But if you've been sitting in this church for years and years and you've never truly been born again, you come, get saved. You reject Jesus. Payback will come if you don't get saved. You will get rejected from going to heaven. But is there anybody here tonight that would say, Pastor, I'm not saved. I need to be born again. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Let me pray for you. Then, Christian, let me ask you this. Do you need to be careful with your behavior because of the reaping process? Do you need to be cautious because of the payback? Let me warn you. You go out and you have vengeance with someone. I'm telling you, vengeance will come back on you. You let God take care of that. But let's make sure that we're reminded of the sowing and the reaping process and what God calls, He will requite. He will pay back. Who here tonight would say, Preacher, God has spoken to my heart. I've been reminded of something. I needed it, and God has spoken to me. Would you raise your hand and let God see it for a moment? You may put those hands down. If you need the altar, sometimes you just come to the altar because you can come down here and seal the deal. It's good. It's a moment of humility, if you will. And maybe you need to come and, hey, maybe that shows God a little more sincerity in a moment of confession to Him. If you need the altar, I want you to come. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. Children, do you need to come? You think you're getting away with things now? No, there'll be payback. Teenager, do you need a moment at the altar? How about your behavior? You bet. Be careful. There's a payback. Adult, there's a payback. There's a payback time. And remember, if you've been up to no good and you're doing wrong, if you get to God, you can minimize the consequence of the payback. What a rude man Adonai Bezek. I think he was running wild and having a good time at it. I think he thought he had the world by the tail. Well, here he was conquering everybody he came across. He cut off their fingers, he would cut off their toes. He'd make them crawl around and bark like a dog and fight over the scraps of food that fell from the master's table. He would mock, he would have fun. He made himself look powerful. He made himself look successful with all those conquered kings. And it was his idea. He was up and strong and he'd never be taken down. Finally, somebody takes him down. Now he's got a face payback. Face payback. Could I recommend something? Somebody in the church maybe does something wrong and they sin or humiliate themselves and you treat them like a dog. You treat them unkindly. You treat them with harshness and criticism and you talk about them on Facebook and you're rude to them and you're nasty about them. Might I recommend that you keep your mouth shut and you stay humble? Because you may be the next one to fall. And you might not like the way you get treated because payback might come your way. Payback. Payback. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. Adonai Bezek said, as I have done, so God hath requited me. Payback. This is the last time through the song. We'll pray and we'll be on our way. If you need the altar, you may come. Payback. You mistreat people financially, it'll come back at you. You steal God's money, you'll lose. Matter of fact, you are losing. You have been and you will. You don't get away with it. And even if you seem to prosper, your prosperity has been, it's really been limited.